In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's word for the basis of our sermon this morning is recorded in the 34th chapter of Moses' book of Exodus, beginning at verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. This is God's word. In Jesus' name, dearly loved by God, relevant preaching is a main attraction for churches today. No one would argue that preaching should be up to date, timely. That's not the same thing as relevant. I don't equate relevant with changing with the times to make people happy. When I think of relevant, the first word that comes to my mind is biblical. What is more relevant in preaching in our churches and for our daily Christian lives than the unchanging, powerful Word of God handed down to us from generations of believers before us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? You can't argue that those truths that have been passed on to us are very old. There's nothing wrong with dressing those old truths up in new clothes, so to speak, so they don't instantly appear as out of date or as if the world had passed them by. Clothes don't make the man, however. And so if we make our preaching up to date and timely, that doesn't mean we change the essence of it. The essence of God's Word is for us just as relevant today as it was for those generations who have gone before us, because it is the old, unchanging, and unchanged Word of God. The relevant truth for us on this last Sunday of Epiphany, the Sunday of Transfiguration, is this. God permits a view of His glory. He lets us see it this morning, just like He let the disciples see it just shortly before His death on the cross. In our reading for this morning, as the basis of our sermon, we see that God's people got a view of His glory in the Sinaitic law in the face of Moses. And in our gospel lesson for today, we get a view of God's glory in the Spirit's ministry of the gospel that we see in the face of Christ. Let's review our Old Testament history just a little bit first this morning. Moses went up on Mount Sinai. He spoke with the Lord amidst the thunderings and lightnings, and the people heard God's voice. And at the end of that time, Moses came down from the mountain and discovered the people worshiping the golden calves. So Moses took the two tablets of stone on which God had written his law, and he threw them down, and he broke them, because God's people already had broken that covenant, had broken those commandments. The relevant question for them and for us is, when we commit a great sin, does that mean God is going to forsake us? Does that mean He's going to punish us and leave us completely on our own? The people got the answer right away. As Moses went back up on the mountain, after the people had repented, and Moses said to God, "What a great sin these people have committed. They have made themselves gods of gold. But now, please, forgive their sin." Here's the relevant truth for us today. Does God forgive us our great sins that we commit against Him? Absolutely. The Lord forgave the sin of Israel. He promised that He would continue to be with them. He would continue to lead them. His glory would continue to have its presence in the tabernacle. And Moses could come regularly and speak with the Lord there. In all the times that Moses spoke with the Lord in the tabernacle, though he never saw God's glory directly. And so after Moses had gone back up on the mountain again and interceded on behalf of his people and asked God to forgive them, and God forgave them, Moses said, "Show me your glory." God said, "I will, but you're going to have to hide in this rock, and you're going to have to wait until I pass by, so that humanly speaking, you only see the backside of my glory. Because if you see all of my glory, if you see my glory face to face, you will die." What is the glory of the Lord? It's all of His power, all of His majesty, all of His authority, all of the qualities and attributes that make Him God. It is His righteous acts of gracious forgiveness and final judgment against unbelief. It is all of those things, and the glory of God shines out with the light of 1,000 suns. And had Moses looked at that glory, he would have perished. But God enabled him to see the back of that glory as he passed by. And as God had Moses write on two new tablets, the re-giving of the law. And that brings us to the relevance of Exodus 34 in our lives today. We commit great sin. The Lord forgives our sins. The Lord promises to stay with us and lead us into heaven. That is His glory. The glory that shines out in His holy will that He gave to Moses and He gives to us and commands us to keep holy as His children. It was that glory, that radiant glory of God's holy will that was reflected in Moses' face, that was shining out from his face when he returned to the people. That radiant reflecting glory was that holiness of God, as He expresses that holiness in the Ten Commandments, as He demands of us, "You must be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy." When Moses appeared to the people and they saw even a small reflection of God's glory, they were afraid. God's glory will do that. God's holiness, God's righteousness, God's judgment and his power strike fear in us, don't they? Because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of that holiness that he demands in us. And as a result, we deserve nothing but his wrath, nothing but his punishment. Because of that glory of the Lord that reflected from Moses' face in the law, you and I deserve to be eternally separated from God and from not only his presence, but from his every blessing for all eternity. And so Moses, for that first reason, put a veil over his face to hide that reflected glory of the law of the old covenant of God's holiness from the people. He did it for another reason as well. And here the Apostle Paul adds something that helps us see what that is. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "The Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was." So as Moses was speaking to the people, that glory of the old covenant would begin to fade until he would go up and talk to the Lord again. And so, to keep the people from seeing that fading glory, Moses again covered his face. Here's the relevant truth of all of this. You and I need still to hear God's law. We need to see God's glory in his holiness. Because that holiness fills us with fear. It makes us aware that we have sinned against God and deserve to go to hell. It makes us realize that we have failed and fail every day to match up to what God demands of us. The law, the old covenant, you obey and I will be your God. You disobey and I will forsake you, is a glorious covenant. Even though that covenant damns us, even though that covenant shows us our sin, and even though the glory of that covenant fades away, under the glory of a greater glory, of a greater covenant. And that leads us to having a view of God's glory, not in the Sinaitic law that still shines from Moses' face from the scripture, but that glory that is the Spirit's ministry in the gospel in Jesus Christ. C.F.W. Walther, a great American Lutheran theologian, told his young charges when he taught them in the seminary that you should preach the law and you should preach the gospel. But the gospel must take precedence. The gospel of Jesus Christ takes precedence because it is the glory of the Spirit's ministry in the face of Christ. Speaking of that greater glory that does not fade away, Paul also wrote to the Corinthians in our second lesson today. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." On Transfiguration Sunday, we see the glory of the grace of God shining out in the face of Christ. The Holy Spirit has given us that knowledge. That knowledge of that covenant, the new covenant, of the glory that doesn't fade away. So here's a relevant point. The law, which has faded away, is still glorious. We still need to hear it. But its glory fades under the greater, brighter glory of God's grace to us in Jesus Christ. The glory of God reflected off Moses' face on Sinai. The glory of God shined out from God on the mountain of transfiguration. Jesus shined out his holiness. And the cloud of God's glory came as the Father spoke, and in that sweetness of the gospel said, "This is my Son. Listen to him," speaking once again those wonderful words that he spoke at Jesus' baptism. The glory of God in Moses' face, in Christ's face, because it's the same God. That God is there, ready to go to Jerusalem in just a very short time. And as we sang in our hymn, to have his glory shine out, but hidden under the cross. Hidden under death and the grave until the Father raises him from the dead and shines out his glory in his exaltation. On the mountain of transfiguration, Moses joined Jesus and those three apostles. Here is Moses, representative of the law. The prophet Elijah joined them on the mountain of transfiguration, representative of all the prophets that preached the coming of the Savior. There is Jesus, the fulfillment of all those words. Get it? Moses and the prophets, the Old Testament, Jesus, the coming Savior, the New Testament. There on Mount Sinai, or rather on the Mountain of Transfiguration, we have the whole counsel of God from the very beginning revealed in the Holy Scripture. The law and the prophets, and the fulfillment of those in Jesus Christ. The glory of the law shows us our sin and makes us tremble before God's holiness. And it is glorious. But Jesus Christ, the gospel of our salvation, saves us. And he shines in our hearts and he shines out from our faces as we live in that forgiveness of our sins. And that glory doesn't fade away and it will never fade away. Jesus was showing his disciples that the cross and the grave would not defeat him. That he is God, and his glory and his grace would defeat all of our enemies, sin, death, the grave, and the power of the devil. The gospel shows us our Savior and comforts our hearts secure in Jesus' holiness under the law that the Father has imputed to us through faith. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ is very relevant for us today because it shows us Jesus' victory. It shows us as we go through Lent in humble repentance of our sins, seeing our Savior suffer and die and be buried, that he will come back to life, rise from the dead, ascend into heaven, live and reign over all things in all of his glory, in the fullness of that glory that he had before he became a human being, but which now even his human nature shares. When Israel saw the reflected glory of God in Moses' face, they knew that God still loved them. They knew that God was still with them. They knew that they still needed that Savior that God had promised Abraham. And when you and I see the glory of God in the face of Christ today, we see all of God's promises fulfilled. Right before Jesus loomed the cross and the grave. But they would not in any way diminish his glory as our Savior. In fact, the cross and the grave would lead to that great glory that he now enjoys at the Father's right hand in heaven. Lent is about us sharing in that great glory through Jesus' cross. They lead to our glory with the Father in heaven as well. Amen.